Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Congratulations. On behalf of the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, you are now a member of the Jedi Alliance. May the Force be with you. Always.
Hello there, and welcome to Jedi Alliance, a celebration of the greatest saga ever told. And in just days, mere minutes almost, there will be so much more saga to celebrate. I am one of your hosts. My name is Joseph Scrimshaw. Your other host is, of course...
Hi, I'm the Internet Soapbox Mark Donning. Follow me on Twitter, at Soapbox Mark Joseph.
Mark.
This is our last show before Star Wars. I'm excited.
Before The Force Awakens.
Oh,
indeed.
It
indeed.
Happens.
Yes. We have a wonderful guest. Yes. Audrey Kearns.
Hi. Thanks for having me back, guys.
Audrey, you are the best person in the world at saying who you are and what you do. So I'm going to give you 15 seconds to see if you can do it faster than you ever have before.
Go. Hi, I'm Audrey Kearns. I'm the editor-in-chief of Geek Girl Authority, a geek culture and fun website. Please visit it. I also host the podcast Kneel Before Odd, Polecats, Five Truths and Lie. And, yeah.
Nailed it.
That was
nailed
great.
It.
That was 7 seconds.
Nailed it. Yeah. Way to go. Yeah, so this is our episode about just our anticipation for The Force Awakens, because who really wants to talk about anything else? We'll go over news as we always do, and then we're going to talk a little bit about not necessarily predictions, not like, oh, I'm sure this is going to happen, but what we want to happen, our hopes and our dreams, some of them, I think, very sincere and real, and some of them probably kind of ridiculous. Desperate desires for things to happen. We'll go into Mind Probe, as always, your questions that you've left us kindly on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Duel of the Fates. But first, I wanted to do one last time, talk about our box office predictions. Mm-hmm. It's changed a lot over time. The first time that we talked about this, a lot of the pundits didn't really have their reports out, but now there have been a lot more reports saying, yes, like, they're tracking at 170 for domestic opening, and then projections start to fall apart after that, because there's just not enough data. You know, even professional people don't know. So what are you guys thinking as we're now in the week?
Well, yesterday, friends of the show over on Box Office Breakdown, what they did is they did weekend and then 10 days, which is a pretty big thing, and it gave me a pretty good idea. And they're really good at calling out like accurate numbers. So it made me think maybe opening weekend, and there's still, people may think this is a little high, $275 million. And then for 10 day, somewhere in like the $550-600 million. For 10 day.
Yeah. Interesting.
It's going to be big.
Hopeful.
It's going to be big.
Well, you know, I started, like, the first time I came on the show when we did box office prediction, I think I said 259 or something like that, you know? But I've been thinking about it, and I've been reading, like you said, everybody's come out with their predictions. And I think there's a lot of, it makes sense when you take the holidays into consideration about how much people are going to the movies, where summer movies do better, May movies do better, just because people aren't so consumed by other stuff that's going on. And so I'm bringing down my number. I'm still going higher than 170. I'm caught between 181 and 191 because they're both prime numbers, and I like prime numbers.
I see. So this is becoming very personal for you.
It's become personal. It's going to be 181 or 191. I know I need to choose.
Okay.
But, and 181.
Okay, 181. I think that's good. Ooh, I think that's good. That's it's very conservative. My question continues to be, will the normals go on Saturday and Sunday afternoon? Because I think that's going to make the difference about...
Do you think they're going to be scared to go because we're going to be there?
I think a lot of factors.
That's a good question. I think Thursday,
I don't want to be in there with those insane people. And I think Friday evening, I'm also frightened to bring my children there and hear all of the adult people scream and weep. But I think there's the question of, a lot of people have just read the headlines of, so many showings have sold out, they don't realize there is ample space
so
on Saturday
screens.
And Sunday afternoon, because there's so many screens. So that whether they realize that they actually can go. And then I keep talking to friends who are fans, and they're like, oh yeah, I'm going the next weekend with my family. Which contributes to the question that a lot of people have had of like, of course this is going to be a huge movie.
Uh-huh.
The debate is really, is it going to break the record of Jurassic World?
Mm-hmm. Like longevity, it's going to break a whole bunch of records, you know, as the weeks go on. But you're right, like the first weekend, I don't know.
Yeah. I think it might break a billion before the end of the year. Like, I think, like, worldwide, I think that's not even a question. But it'll be interesting to see once we get how many families are going to wait till everybody's together at Christmas.
Yeah.
How many, like, and as you said, fans, our good friend Mr. Ken Napsok said that he's going to see the movie 9 times on principle alone because yeah. he saw Phantom Menace 8 times. So there are going to be those fans that are like, well, it's episode 7. I'm going to see it 7 times. And those are the ones that I think are going to help carry, like, kind of limp it along to where the normal audience, the general audience, may not be there. So that first weekend, I figure it's going to get to about half full theaters on Saturday and Sunday,
yeah.
and hope that the general audience fills up, because it's in over 4,000 theaters, and that doesn't necessarily say how many screens it's on.
Yeah. I still think I'm going to stick with my 214, because I do think it will beat Jurassic World.
Yeah.
And 14 is a number I like.
On principle, it should beat Jurassic World.
On principle, it should beat Jurassic World. one quick other factor in this is I think it's this unprecedented thing, the amount and kind of marketing, and whether the marketing is going to be effective to make normal, non-zealous people feel like, I want to be a part of this conversation, or if it's going to make them, I am so sick of this. I went shopping at a big mall in L.A. yesterday, and it was amazing how much just Star Wars stuff there is everywhere.
It's everywhere you look.
And there was a guy who at one point I heard grumble. I was in line. He's like, I just want to look somewhere and not see some damn Star Wars thing. And I wonder if that's going to play a factor too in how quickly people will see it.
Yeah. I'm sure there's fatigue. I mean, like, if you're not a football fan and the Super Bowl comes around, you're like, oh my God, can I see another Super Bowl commercial or something like that? You know,
it's, or going to the supermarket without seeing like a huge setup for Tostitos or whatever.
Yeah.
Is there a product that's made you, that you've seen, that's made you guys go, oh, come on! Like, I can't even?
No, I mean, I'm kind of amazed. There's so many things at Target already in the clearance bin. Mm-hmm. There is the drink out of Kylo Ren's decapitated head that's already marked down,
classic.
His mug. But it is fascinating, because it's an evil character. Mm-hmm. We don't know how evil. We don't know what awful thing he's going to do. We don't really know anything about the character. And do you want to drink out of his severed head for like $9? His head's not severed there, so I think that is much better.
I got a little bit more of a 3/4.
Yeah.
Could I chime in for a little something?
Please, Jonathan.
All right, so I hate to say it, but I'm not a crazy hardcore fan by
That's
any
fine.
Means, but I love Star Wars, for sure. I talked to a lot of my neighbors. I talked to a lot of friends around the neighborhood.
Were you selling like Girl Scout cookies going door to door?
No, I just live in... I actually live in a weird apartment where neighbors talk to each other, but
cool.
That's unusual.
Yeah, it is kind of cool. But honestly, at first they started off kind of like what you guys were saying, where they basically were like, I don't want to deal with the crowds. Like, this is going to suck. Like, I don't want to do that. But I feel like the bombardment of marketing or whatever they've been doing, like, everyone's opinion has changed. Like, everyone I know who has said those words are seeing it opening weekend.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's great news.
Yeah, so yeah. I just, I don't know. Like,
I feel validated.
I'm probably going to go see it.
214 then, because our tech Jonathan has surveyed his neighbors. That's really awesome. Thank you.
It's a cool little microcosm. The only reason I asked the question about the marketing is because I saw cuties, like the little Tangelos with BB-8's face on them.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Okay. Like, I understand it's orange and it's a ball, but that's... That's really going.
Yeah, it is impressive. I think it has crossed that line from we are marketing a product, like we want to sell something, to, you know what, let's just slap Star Wars on anything. We don't really care if you buy these oranges. These oranges aren't to be oranges. They are more advertisements for our movie.
Yeah. It's stunning, because I'd say like back in August and over the summer, right before Force Friday in September, and everything, you were starting to see the really clever marketing, even with the, like, for women, the CoverGirl makeup was so fun, and it made sense. I mean, their whole ad campaign made sense, the light side and the dark side. But now, the closer we get to the movie, now you see Tangelos,
they're throwing it at everything.
You know, I was like, were they thinking, well, the kids then can pretend that they're BB? I was like, no, the kids are going to throw it against a wall and steam. That's what I do when I was a kid.
I want the dark side, Tangelos.
I got in trouble.
Well, should we move into our full news from the Holonet?
Speaking of BB-8, let's roll on to news from the Holonet. We did get some new posters this week for Mr. Poe Dameron and our new droid friend, BB-8. Interesting that these came out so late in the game, so close to release. Do you think there's any reason for the delay? Does it say anything about their involvement in the film? What do y'all think?
Well, I think, you know, like with Poe Dameron, I mean, his figure is smaller on the poster, you know, so maybe he isn't going to have that big of a role as, but I was thinking, there's been, what we were just talking about, there's been so much saturation lately with all the marketing that even the TV spots are rehashed bits that we've, pieces we've already seen that are just strung together differently, that this was almost like a way to insert something exciting for all the nerds like us to, you know, oh, he's Black Leader. Oh, I mean, because the reveal was great on Twitter and everything. Mm-hmm. And so it gave us something to talk about for a day that wasn't a new 15-second TV spot of rehashed clips.
Yeah, I don't think it – I think BB-8 is probably going to be the star of this film. I think he's probably going to be in more shots than anyone else. It seems like they really put their back behind BB-8. And he's the kind of guy who can just be the greatest extra in the world, just rolling around in the background.
Shots.
Yeah, and I feel like Poe Dameron is maybe going to have a bigger role in the next movie.
That's
because they
think.
So unveiled him as one of the big three with Finn and Rey.
Yeah.
And then I think he dialed back.
He is basically a legacy character in the canon just because of his parents, fought for the rebels and everything. So I thought the same thing, that it may not be in this movie, but I think in the next movie he probably will have a much
probably come
role.
Into his own.
Yeah. But that poster excites me. That poster of him excites me. He is a very handsome, sharp man. And aesthetically pleasing. Well coiffed. And there's something just about his face. You know how some people's face looks like they're from a different time? Like somebody, like, your face is from the 1930s. His face looks like it's from 1978. There's just something about it. He looks like that part of the roguish bad boy Han Solo that wasn't really a narrative or character presence in the prequels. So there's something about that poster to me that's so exciting.
That's the thing. I mean, he's such a chameleon of an actor too, which is so great. I'm really excited about this compared to the last few movies I've seen him in, which are completely different.
And even just seeing the new X-Men trailer and going, that's Poe Dameron? Holy crap! Apocalypse?
And did you guys see Ex Machina? Just the dance scene alone in that movie.
It's like
that 15-second dance scene.
He's our new Star Wars hero.
He's amazing.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to seeing more of him.
Yeah.
There was also a rumor going around that we're going to get Rogue One's first teaser in front of Force Awakens. Do you think there's been enough shot for a teaser, or is it going to be the same thing that we saw at Celebration? Sort of.
Well, they're
like
in the middle of principal photography, right?
Yeah. So
there's probably footage there. I'm just wondering if they're going to choose to do that.
Yeah, from the leaked photos, I feel like there's plenty that they've shot to cut together something like truly meaningful. And I kind of hope that they'll do that.
Yeah.
I think J.J. Abrams shot down that there's no post-credits
scene.
And people are still harping on that on the internet, though. I even read a post this morning where somebody is convinced that the Rogue One tease will be at the end. They're going to do a Marvel thing, which to me doesn't make sense because it's from a different time, first of all.
I can't, I think it would be amazing if they broke all tradition and it is not a narrative tease like at the end of a Marvel movie, but it's just a trailer for the next Star Wars movie after this Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it might be a little messy and confusing for normal people who are only vaguely aware that, what, Rogue One anthology movie?
Yeah.
Star Wars story? What the hell are you talking about?
Exactly.
But you just saw this, what I suspect will be an amazing or really good Star Wars movie, The Force Awakens. The credits play and like, by the way, here's a teaser for this new Star Wars movie telling a different story.
You can see 1 year from today.
Yeah.
You know, and then they can do that at the end of Rogue One. They can do the next one in the.
Yeah.
Would you guys would rather see it at the end or like during the trailer sequence?
I think it would be like to capture the most excitement because everybody seemed through the credits. They got the new score rolling and it fading to more and different Star Wars would be cool. If we have one of the characters, if one of the characters gets aged and is involved in Episode 7 somehow, that would be a cool thing to have them, like, think back to, God, I remember when this all started, or something.
That would be pretty
cool. I think it would be something cool, and then you would have a little bit of that tie there. But it to capture the most, I think the biggest amount of excitement would be to put it at the end.
Yeah. And I feel like they have their job cut out for them for non-hardcore fans to educate people of what this movie is. Mm-hmm. And I would be fascinated to see what kind of, you know, how they place it for people chronologically, for people who are not big nerds, so they understand what this is.
Right.
Because, you know, not every person in the world has the opening crawl from A New Hope memorized to go, oh, it's that.
Yeah.
That's odd that they wouldn't. They're not normal. Next on the docket, ESPN is going to be airing The Evolution of the Lightsaber Duel, hosted by Mark Hamill, tomorrow, if you're listening to us live, Tuesday the 15th. I found this infinitely interesting. Like, there's been such a resurgence of, like, kendo lightsaber fights or people just fighting in public. There's a guy who was just in public with a robe tossing lightsabers to people to have, like, impromptu fights with him. So it's kind of back. So to see this on ESPN, first of all, interesting place to put it.
Yeah.
But do you think it's going to be kind of a weird, hey, look at what these guys figured out? Or do you think we're going to get kind of a lesson on the classic forms?
I think it's going to be a little both. I'm all about this, by the way. So excited.
Oh, me too. I'm super down.
I cannot wait to watch it. Of course, it's on SportsCenter ESPN, like you said, which is owned by Disney. So it's all in the family. And, you know, the trailer I saw, you know, where they are talking about the martial art itself quite a bit, and how it changed from samurai fights from the original trilogy to more aggressive, basically, in the prequel trilogy, was when it really got. I mean, it's like a dance; it's choreography, and John Boyega's in it, and they're talking to the kendo experts and stuff like that. What I found, though, is that when these martial artists, when they're competing, they look exactly like Kylo Ren. Every single one of them.
Because of the masks.
They're wearing the masks and
the
black
traditional
robes.
Masks. Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
That's really cool.
Yeah, but I'm so excited. I love that it's like kind of has a documentary feel to it, because they are reporting on this type of martial arts, and then they're going to talk about how it has grown throughout the Star Wars franchise, and I cannot wait.
Yeah, awesome. I am super excited to watch it after The Force Awakens comes out.
Oh, yes. Really? Yes.
As people who have been watching and listening know, like, last week we talked about the difference between spoilers and TMI.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people define spoilers as something that's not been officially released by Lucasfilm, and for me, there's just a lot of Star Wars TMI, and I know there are shots of Ben in this that I don't want to
There's
see.
There's behind the scenes stuff of John Boyega learning.
And he's talking, he's also being interviewed, so you're right.
Yeah,
what about you? Are you going to watch it tomorrow, or are you going
to
wait?
Like, I don't know if I'll have time to watch it, like, before Star Wars, but before the movie comes out, but it's something that I know will be, they'll make available everywhere and ready to watch. Do you think we'll see a return of the forms that we've learned about from the prequels in the new movies?
See, that's what I don't want to learn from this.
Okay.
I want to learn that from the movie, because I have always been when the prequels were out and I was super into them, and I even though I knew they weren't technically great, I still really enjoyed them, and I had the Star Wars Insider magazine, and it would tell you about, like, the different forms that had been invented and which Jedi used which and why. So, like, I got pretty geeky about the different, like, Star Wars lightsaber forms. And to me, sort of, that affects the narrative of The Force Awakens a lot. In theory, those forms should be lost, because those were the technical forms from the Jedi, when the
Which
Jedi
Which makes sense in the prequels, why they were so good at it, why they were so aggressive, because it was still something that they practiced every single day.
Since they were babies.
Yeah.
And, and I don't want to know why
Finn
has a lightsaber. And in my mind, from what I want, he shouldn't be able to use it well, because those forms have been lost. He should use it like the lightsaber kid meme, he should use it the way we use it, of just like, because he has no idea what he's doing.
Yeah.
If the film works out the way I would like it.
I think it'd be interesting if just for the future of the canon, if we go into like a Jedi Academy style thing where Luke has found these old holocrons or these old documents or whatever, to be like, you know what, maybe this might help if we know some proper, at least general sword fighting.
Some general form.
Yeah. If anything, they create a new form, something like that. I think it'd be fun.
You're absolutely right, because in the trailer for this special, the one of the experts says, he said it takes, I wrote it down because I thought it was such an interesting quote, it takes 1,000 days of training for one moment of reckoning. And you're right, Finn hasn't had those.
I hope not.
I don't think he has.
Yeah, okay. We'll get into it.
We'll talk about it.
Next story. Kathleen Kennedy thinks that Star Wars 1313 assets are gold and thinks that there's something there and wants to further that idea and develop that a little bit more. So for those of you who don't know, Star Wars 1313 was a third-person action game under LucasArts, and when Disney kind of absorbed them, the project kind of fizzled out. It was rumored to be a Boba Fett, not necessarily an origin story, but kind of about how his before we meet him in the films and how he gets so infamous. Would you guys want to see this back as a game, or do you think this could be a great Star Wars Netflix series or something really seedy?
I think that what she's talking about is rolling it into either a TV series or for use in the Han Solo and Boba Fett movies, if they do indeed do the Boba Fett movie. Because they just talked about the Star Wars 1313 video game, but also the live television show that Lucas himself...
Underground.
And 1313 is referring to a level of Coruscant that's like down in the depths and that. And I feel last week Mark and I talked about how they're going to expand the Star Wars galaxy if they're going to keep doing a movie a year. And it seems like with Han Solo and with Boba Fett, the obvious thing is, you know, the B plot, the A plot of Star Wars always has been the Jedi, and the B plot has always been the underground and the rogues and the scoundrels. And it makes a lot of sense that Kathleen Kennedy would say, like, that we're really going to be leaning on that in the Han Solo movie, in the Boba Fett movie, and then maybe even in a TV show.
Yeah.
I thought her answers were pretty vague. You know, she was basically saying, yes, we think all that stuff is gold, I think is the exact word she used. And we're all taking a look at it, a close look at it. It was almost like a politician answering the question. But as far as a Netflix series, like especially the one that, you know, George Lucas wanted to do, where he described it as he wanted it to be Deadwood in space. I mean, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
But,
that was Rick McCallum, the producer who swears a lot. So I think he just really wanted an opportunity to swear in space.
which would be interesting. You know, I mean, it's working for Marvel. I mean, they've got so many shows on the air right now and Netflix series. I'm curious if it would work for Star Wars or if it would be overkill. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it depends on the subject matter. Yeah. But they've proven, especially with the Marvel, as you said, if they have the right team, they can make anything work. Mm-hmm. Especially with Jessica Jones' past series. Jeez.
Yeah.
And our last story, the Star Wars Force Awakens website was updated with a, not necessarily a tour, but a view of Jakku's marketplace. You get to scroll around, you see TIE fighters flying, BB-8's rolling around. Is there any other Star Wars, like, back in the day, would there be any other planet or area of the universe that you would want to explore in just a fun little look-around way to make it seem lived in?
Yeah, I definitely like the Ewok homeworld. I would want to go through those bridges and like have a virtual experience climbing and stuff. I'm a tall woman. So I wouldn't fare well. I'd break everything. So if I could do it in a virtual reality experience or do it
So what you're saying is you would like to smash an Ewok village.
Yes.
In virtual reality.
with my big size 12s.
Attack of the slightly tall woman. You're not.
No, but I always thought that was a very lush world too, and I like that.
I would say find somebody who has Star Wars Battlefront because Endor is the most beautiful stage in that
game. Well, my husband, I know, is not going to watch this, but he's getting all that stuff for. Sorry,
that's
Chris,
fine.
For Christmas.
It happens. We cannot contain our excitement, apparently extends to the swears.
When he loads it up, you're going to be like, it's real. Yeah. It's all real.
Yeah,
I can't wait. It's so bizarre.
Yeah, the whole Jakku thing, how many different places they've rolled out. Mm-hmm. Stare at Jakku and find every little thing. When I went to look at this, I was sort of like, all right, I've seen Jakku on Facebook. You can strap the Google Cardboard and your phone to your face. But then it's just so effectively moody and fun. And my favorite thing is there's some sort of weird space vulture pecking on a broken piece of ship.
Yep.
And you get this like just distant haunting little peck, 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 peck. It makes you feel like something's coming. Something's coming.
And there was probably like one group of people that were in charge of just that one, you know.
Yeah.
Bird.
Gotta get that sound just right.
Yeah,
that's Ben Burt. That's Ben Burt, space bird. I would love to see something like that for Mos Eisley. Mm-hmm. And just be able to see a little bit more of that world and, you know, sad. Yeah. Aliens drinking.
See it on a daily basis, like an average day.
Coruscant, too. I always found that, you know, the visuals of that world pretty interesting. That's why 1313 is so interesting.
Yeah.
You know.
Home of the Midair Collision,
Coruscant.
Yeah. That's all of the stories that we had today for news from the Holonet. More updates to come. I don't know what.
Yeah. Good job. Sure. Wrap that one up.
I do what I can. Back to you, Joseph.
We're going to move on to our main topic, although I will say I also like seeing Bubba Joe in Jakku.
Who's
what looks like the pot-enjoying space alien.
One of the news stories I was looking through was like, what's really behind Bubba Joe? I was like, I don't want to touch that because He could be a Sith Lord. Who knows?
He is. So he's carrying.
Something's going on.
Bubba Joe is carrying. That's my prediction. And we're going to move into more relevant predictions than whether or not Bubba Joe is has a medical marijuana card, which I believe he does. So we want to talk a little bit. This is our last episode before The Force Awakens. Thank you for everybody who's been with us for a really long time as we slowly, slowly build our anticipation. And our next episode, we will be enjoying that anticipation. We'll tell you a little bit more about that next episode at the end of this show. But I want to talk a little bit about kind of our hopes and our dreams and what we want to see, what we think Force Awakens and the whole new trilogy might be. And I wanted to start with a discussion of George Lucas's reaction. Mm-hmm. So Kathleen Kennedy was quoted as saying, like, he did see it, he enjoyed it. And then somebody managed to stop Lucas on the red carpet at the Kennedy Center Honors Ceremony, where he was being honored. I think it's interesting that he was being honored, and yet the main bit of news is his quote about Star Wars. They asked him if he did see it and what he thought, and he said, "I think the fans are going to love it. It's very much the kind of movie they've been looking for." So, I think you can interpret this, and many people did have the quick knee-jerk interpretation of this as passive-aggressive. To me, it just felt above board and honest of him saying, "I like to do whatever I want to with my galaxy. I want to do these surprising stories that other people don't expect that make sense to me." And the fans want to recapture that old feeling. And I feel like he's just, on some level, just being honest of, I would have probably done this weird thing that the fans would have yelled at me about. And they made a movie that you fan, that exactly what you fans have been yelling at me about since 1999.
And I'm okay with that. I mean, I think, I mean, the way I look at George Lucas, especially what you see in his movies and stuff, I mean, he's really got this Buddhist quality to him, you know, about balance and all that kind of stuff. And I think it's kind of a Zen answer. You know, I don't think it's that passive aggressive. You're right. Maybe he did this. He probably watched it. Well, I would have done that differently. I would have done this. Any director or artist is going to watch a film or a piece of work and think that. But he knows what those fans wanted, and I think he said it there, you know?
Yeah. And I think he'll say more about whether or not he actually enjoyed it. I think he'll get pinned down at some point, because I think that's the other part where people could interpret it. It's like, you know, it's like when you go to see somebody's show and you don't actually enjoy it, and you're like, well, the lighting was great. You
that
know, and
was this sort of
the lie of omission.
How do you memorize all those lines?
How do you memorize all those lines?
My favorite one. It's like, oh, I guess he didn't like my show.
Okay. He could have been much more passive aggressive than that. Like, there certainly were spaceships.
Yeah. Did you see Han?
Well, how do you interpret this, Mark?
At first reaction, it seems passive aggressive, especially the last time he was reached for comment. But I figure he's trying to. He's the same way, where he doesn't want to spoil anything for the fans.
Yeah.
Because I figure maybe like a month after release, he's going to release like What I Would Have Done Differently by George Lucas, or My Original Idea by George Lucas, unless there's some sort of thing in his contract with Disney where he can't talk about it. But it's hopeful. I wonder how pandery some of the stuff in the story is going to be, you know? I hope there are moments where we can be surprised, as opposed to 20 minutes in, we go, okay, so that's going to happen, that's going to happen, that's going to happen.
Right.
Because it feels like it's following kind of a New Hope.
Structurally.
Definitely.
So I hope once it, like, we get that for, like, the first 45 minutes, and then it goes, by the way, nope! And it completely swerves out of left field.
Yeah.
Not in, like, a Into Darkness con perspective, but something that can be a legitimate expansion of this world that can open it up to, oh, well, now I want to, instead of seeing anthology movies from the classic trilogy and expanding on that, what's this new world about? So that's what I hope, and in relation to this comment, at least.
Cool. So moving on, what do you guys want the movie to be about? Like, we get so excited about the characters, the ships, all of the sort of the surface level that Disney has been feeding us. Mm-hmm. But what do you want it to actually be about?
Do you mean tonally?
What know? I mean, what is the main story? Because we talk about it is we're going to see Han. We get to see Han on screen again. But we don't often talk about, like, if you were just writing the plot summary in a sentence, what is this movie about?
Right. I think what Mark just said, where, you know, it's kind of seeming like it's following A New Hope a little bit, which is, you know, I saw that in the movie theater, and that movie meant a lot to me. And I think, you know, when I look back on it, I realize it's, you know, I love a good hero's journey. Mm-hmm. You know, I love, and if they can stick to Joseph Campbell's hero's journey with this movie, but to me, tonally, what, and this could be different for everybody. You know, everybody takes from art what they want
yeah.
to. To me, Star Wars is light versus dark. You know, it's good and evil. It's right choices and wrong choices. And that's what I want this movie to be about. It sounds a little simplistic, you know, but it isn't. It's very grand. And I want that to be at the core of this film
yeah.
as well. You know, I'm also looking, you know, looking forward to, you know, see if Han passes the torch to somebody. I'm curious to see if Finn is the hero journey person or is it Rey, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I'm glad I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, but I do want that good, simple story that means so much.
Yeah.
Like I'm almost getting weepy just talking about it because that movie meant so much to me. And I think this is, we're all so excited this week. And I think it's because we kind of see something familiar coming.
Yeah. And I feel like if it does really, truly, even just narratively story beat, capture those feelings, I think mm-hmm. that's also what Lucas was probably talking about.
Yeah.
Of
yep.
this is what the fans
yeah.
wanted. Mark, what do you think?
Like she said it, passing of the torch. I think as much as I'm excited to see where our characters are, I think there's only so much that we need them for in the story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, okay, now, like, they need to see something in the characters where they can go, finally, I can rest. Like, I don't need to do this anymore because the universe is in good hands.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what the production has been about, too. And you kind of hope that George selling it and seeing where they, JJ and Kathleen have been taking the story, this we want this to be a sigh of relief, and yet what's going to happen next? So I think it's going to be a passing, or I want it to be a passing of the torch, and just I want to know so much more about all of these characters, whether it's Friday or 2 years from now Friday.
Yeah.
4 years from now Friday. It's just more Star Wars.
Yeah, cool. I want it to be similar to A New Hope, but I feel like A New Hope was so much about sort of a discovery, and mm-hmm. it sort of hinted at that connection to the mm-hmm. very old, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're in this really unique position where the story in the universe is about the past and about introducing new people to the past, but then we have this huge emotional powerhouse of, like, we live that too. Like, literally, as a culture, we live that. So when Han is saying, it really happened, we're like, yes, it did, in a theater
yeah.
in 1983, and
yeah.
many of us were there, or we watched it at home. So I wanted to have that sort of arc and that sort of a crescendo mm-hmm. almost mm-hmm. that A New Hope does. But I do also want it to have that different flavor because of the new. So, like, to me, when I was thinking about it, like, I want it to be about acceptance.
Yes.
I want it to be that. In some of the commercials and trailers, makes me think that it will be this, that the Force isn't being used. The characters, the heroes, the new heroes are more resistant to taking on the mantle. So that I feel like would be very powerful. We get to the third act and
yeah.
it's finally Luke is there and finally the heroes
yeah.
truly accept their journey and
yeah.
that they're going to take it on.
I think there's more fear in that may be present, like people being reluctant to take the mantle, which is total hero's journey as well. But, you know, just because the Empire has been around for longer now and they have, I mean, there's downtrodden. I mean, they've been brutal compared to what we saw in episode 4
yeah.
and in A New Hope and everything. So I think they can bring that weight, it's going to have more weight,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
Then the First Order seems so much more regimented and strict, and from what we've seen in the trailers of them just totally scorching the earth and like seemingly leaving no survivors.
Yeah.
And even in the trailer, just let it in is an
yeah.
indicator that acceptance is going to be a big theme.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes,
so how do you guys want it to end, given that we think it's going to have a lot of structural and thematic similarities with A New Hope? That's our guess. But we also are going to have probably have some bittersweetness of characters maybe dying,
mm-hmm.
characters maybe just saying, great, we're going to retire to the moon of Endor and build our own little hut, and you guys take up the fight.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
do you want like a straightforward cliffhanger to hook you? Do you want it to be bittersweet? Do you want it to just be absolute parade? Everybody is truly thrilled at their victory?
I don't want it to be like to be continued. I want a resolution in this movie.
And I think J.J. Abrams has said that they want a complete movie, so it's probably not going to be a cliffhanger.
Even at the end of New Hope, there was a resolution, and they got their awards at the end. But the thing was is the bad guys were still out there.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking that maybe that's what I want at the end of this movie, is that a resolution to a couple of the storylines, and then, of course, there's going to be something in the future that they're going to have to, that will be the conflict coming up.
Agreed. Wanted to be like a next time gadget, next time sort of a thing.
Yeah.
Where the 100%
fish shaking.
Yeah. The plot of the movie will be resolved, but you have the sense that there's something bigger out there or the bad guy got away. Cause Vader, he's the only person to survive from the Empire from that attack.
And you can't just crush me and make me wait 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to, but I so want them to. At least, if not in this one.
You're a monster.
No, we don't get
100% crush.
We don't get cliffhangers the way we used to.
We
get a little bit, like every show now has a mid-season finale, and we get a little bit of that, but nothing like 2 years. I think it would be good for us as a culture to actually, for real, have to wait for something for 2 years.
We've been waiting 10 years for this one.
I know, and we're not handling it well. We have to do a weekly show and talk about it.
As a support group.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping that it is bittersweet, and that there is a victory, but it is, the heroes are really cognizant of not only winning, but having some loss within that victory.
Right.
Because I feel like that's going to match the tone. What do you guys want the story of the overall trilogy to be? Do you think it is just the same as the classic trilogy of we have good guys, we have bad guys, we have the Resistance in the First Order, and the main question of the whole trilogy is, can the First Order be defeated?
I think I will go back to what I said. I would like it to continue to be light versus dark, that for me. But I think with all the information we have now, with the whole legacy and the Star Wars canon, I would love for it to be, to see the individual struggles, a bit more.
Yeah.
Like say you got a person who's raised to be a stormtrooper, he's just a soldier. He's not really thinking about what's going on, light versus dark. He doesn't know the evil he's in. I find that fascinating. So now that we are past the big archetypes where everything was just an archetype,
right?
Getting a little nitty gritty.
So you want a little bit more character drama. You want it to be a little bit more of a character drama and a little less of a space opera.
But I love a good space opera. So I don't want.
Well,
can
who
we have
does
both?
It? I think it will probably be both. What do you think or want the overall story to be?
Like, I want there to be, like, I go back to this pretty frequently. Avatar The Last Airbender has a ultimate sense of, here's the big bad guy, and you see that the big bad guy's power throughout the series and how it affects the people around him and how it affects the team of good guys. And some people change, some people go crazy, some people go good, but ultimately it's about... This big bad needs to go down. So it is ultimately light versus dark, but then the series is about that gray area in between of, well, how good is good, how bad is bad, and how good is good bad, how bad is bad good. So
very complex.
Ultimately light versus dark, and there has, and I mean, just the emotion at the end of Jedi is so palpable, and even though I like, as we talk about in our watch alongs, I do like the lightsaber fight from episode 5 a little bit more than episode 6. That final scene is like, hey, people studying movies, here's the final confrontation for you.
Yeah.
So I think it's good versus evil, but there has to be an establishment of how bad it really is.
Yeah, so you want a little bit more of the moral ambiguity on the journey to getting rid of the big bad, which is probably Snoke. Who knows? We don't know.
Maybe.
For me, since they've really clearly said, this is the story of the Skywalkers, and that's what separates the saga movies from any other Star Wars story that we tell, I kind of want it to be the story of, how do the Skywalkers finally get it right as a family? Because first, Anakin, the prequel trilogy is about Anakin messing everything up.
Mm-hmm.
The next trilogy is about Luke, coming into his own and saving his father. But now, as we know, something bad happened because the galaxy seems to be in a dark place. And Luke, being the new hope who became a wise Jedi, either he didn't train people, whatever. Something went wrong. the force is sleepy, it needs to awaken.
The force.
And the force it would be really great if, like,
this one.
Force is sleepy with this. It would be great to me if this was a story about, like, we need to get the balance of the force right. So that,
I do think it starts with the
so that the fight stops. Like, it's not enough to just stop the First Order again. How right. do we do it so that this stops happening?
Right.
Like, that would be an interesting moral journey for whoever the Skywalker is, who knows their heritage of...
Mm-hmm. Do you think the Skywalkers are cursed and that they'll always be cursed? Or are you hoping
maybe.
That...
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so, so, like, exactly... I mean, it's got to be dark and cool. It's sort of like we began that journey culturally with our narratives in, like, the 1980s.
Right, right.
This time it's personal. And now it's like, this time it's always super personal every time.
All in
like,
the family.
Yeah. So I feel like... Yeah, I think like it might. There might be some of that. I'm a cursed Skywalker, but it'd be cool if Skywalker knew the legacy that we all know now. Of I want to get it right. I want to actually bring balance to the Force.
Right,
it'd be a really cool story to me. I want to get into a couple of like very specific. Do you want? Do you not want it to have happened? Do you want Luke to have trained other Jedi?
I want him to have tried.
Awesome.
Because I think he's in a position where he knows exactly what he is. He knows that he has this great power in him, but he senses there might be this darkness inside of me, and I don't know if I can take up the role of the ultimate Jedi Master. So I think he searches the Force to see if there are any Jedi left over who's Force-sensitive and just like, hey, by the way, I want you to run everything so that I don't have to deal with it because I've got some stuff going on.
Okay, so you think he's already got his own
He's dealing with stuff, but I think he's trying to train people, but they can't handle the responsibility. So he kind of goes, here's my card, and just call me when you're ready.
Okay.
So that's why he's not around, is because he's trying to find somebody to take his place.
Okay. What do you want him to have tried to train Jedi or have started up?
I'd originally thought yes, but I really love what Mark just said. I think that'd be fascinating that he had at least tried, you know, but there is something in him. I mean, there is obviously he's got part of his father in him, you know, that maybe some darkness did come and he couldn't complete the training. But I think that's has more conflict and much more interesting than anything I could have said. So,
yeah, I'm along with wanting him to have tried. I don't want to spend a lot of time with tortured Luke. Is he maybe dark? Because I feel like he's already gone through that journey. Yeah. I want him to be sad. I want him to have taken responsibility for, hey, all this horrible crap that's happened to the galaxy, a lot of it is because Jedi and Sith have been fighting.
Mm-hmm.
So there aren't any Sith. Why don't I just chill on the Jedi?
Yeah. My thoughts are that he's just going to be in a very hopeless place. You know, hope is gone for him. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Oh, yeah. That'd be awesome.
A new hopelessness.
I want Luke to get his groove back is what I want the subtext of this film to be. Do you guys want to see Leia use the Force?
Yes.
Mark?
Very minutely. Just like a quick, like a little bit of frustration, and you just kind of see like a...
Okay, so you want her to get like minorly annoyed and like make the fluid in her cup dance a little bit like a dinosaur is coming.
Maybe not necessarily like that, but there might be something that like the Force in her has already been awakened, and it's something like we've talked about previously where she tried it and it wasn't quite for her, but every once in a while she let something slip.
Yeah,
I'd like to think that you know, she's a general now, and I'd like to think that she does have the Force within her, and that's guiding her decisions, whether or not she's trained on how to use all the other physical aspects of the Force. I don't know, but I definitely would like, because I think she got a raw deal not being able to use it so much, so I'd like to see a little change in that.
Yeah, to me it's a fascinating thing because the expanded universe handled it by, like, she played around with it and it wasn't really for her. Like, I could use this, you know. But we just rewatched Jedi for this watch-along, and so much of it is about pass on what you have learned and Luke saying you have that power too.
Yeah.
That I want some acknowledgement of it. And I don't know if it narratively works, but just in my little geek heart, I want her to shove someone across the room with the Force so badly.
That would be so cool.
I do. Yeah. I want it to be like, there's an attack on whatever base that she's, you know, she's being a general and she's commanding and people bust in. She's like, yeah, no, I'm busy.
Yep.
Just a nice, good shove. It. Do you guys want Han to shoot someone first?
Always and forever.
Just without any discussion. Hello, I'm Bam.
Bam.
I'm tired of this crap.
Yeah. What about you, Mark?
Sure. I figure he's at a point where he has to, and he might be so paranoid now that he has accepted this, and now that he is so a part of the, well, I mean, maybe he's not, but I think there might be, he's always got a feeling that there's somebody watching him behind him. So he's gotta, he's just gotta.
So you think he's a more paranoid Han Solo than we met before?
I wouldn't say paranoid. I would say cautious.
Okay.
Where it's just like, he may know something that, if he may know something that he hasn't told anybody,
uh-huh,
that's really important, and he has to stay alive in order to carry that message.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if, like, with age comes wisdom, maybe he will think yeah, twice, but I don't know, he's Han Solo, so I always think that there's some kind of recklessness about him.
Yeah.
So I'll be curious to see if, mm-hmm, he's changed.
Yeah, I mean, but I think we're going to get some good Han shooting. along those lines, how many nods do you want, or will you be annoyed if there is, like, a scene that directly references Han shooting first, and, like, you know, if there's an I love you, I know exchange somewhere? There's, you know, we've talked a lot about on the show, like, somebody will say, I've got a bad feeling about this or something like that. There'll be a Wilhelm scream. There's some, yeah, of these things that are just sort of like, it's iconic. It's a part of it. Mm-hmm. And then there's that super fan winky, mm-hmm, sort of like, normal people have no idea that it's like, that was just a deep reference to blah, 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 blah.
I just remember that they spoiled the Wilhelm scream and I'm upset again.
I think it might be in a different place.
Hopefully.
I think it'll be wall to wall Wilhelm. How many nods do you guys want? Or will it be taking you out of the narrative of...
It will take me out of the narrative. I want very few. I mean, I know there's going to be a few in there. So I'll say three. Please don't do more than three.
Three is good. It's a good comedy rule. Yeah. They already you know, ran the whole setup and payoff for I Love You, I Know with the original trilogy.
Yeah.
So that's already taken care of. It would be nice if they started it and changed it. Like if it wasn't I love you too. And like if it was something where they're like, oh, they finally said it. That means they've come to a fun understanding. So if they take it and flip it, that'd be cool. But I agree, three direct references is probably the best.
Yeah, it'd be great if somebody just screwed it up and somebody said, I know.
I know, totally, I know.
I love you. Yeah. Oh, is that not the normal way to respond to that? Oh, if you say I know first. Oh, I see. You were just talking about knowledge, not saying you love me.
It's like, hey, sorry, I'm going on lunch break. I know.
I love you. What?
I love you. What?
What do you guys want? Speaking of things that could be tropes or little in-jokes, what do you want to hear Admiral Akbar say? If you could hear Admiral Akbar say anything, what would you want him to say?
To walk into a room and say, hey, everybody, don't worry. I just got back from an intense war game seminar. I can see any traps.
That's funny.
Okay, so you want him to be you want him to be hyper-aware and perhaps acknowledge his history of being a little overly alert about traps.
Yes.
I'd want, like, a Lethal Weapon. I'm getting too old for this piece.
Too old for this. Yeah, I want to hear him just do vocal warm-ups. His voice is so great. Like, before
he wakes up.
Red leather, yellow leather, red leather, yellow leather, red leather, yellow leather, red leather, yellow leather. Yeah, that's what I want to hear. Is there any, like, thing that you just don't think there's any way that it will be in the movie, but you want it to be, along the lines of Leia using the Force?
I'd say, like, some real Han and Leia love. I'm not talking about a love scene, but just, you know, I'm not...
Want it to be NC-17, I understand.
I want it to be NC-17. No, I would just, you know, because it was always... It's always been pretty... Well, I guess exactly what you just said, like, very PG, you know?
Yeah.
And this one is PG-13. So, I don't know. I just like to see more of their relationship, but I don't think that's the focus of this
movie.
Okay.
I think that there'll be some good, solid moments, obviously, because I feel like
they've got some
backstory to deal with and all of that,
yeah,
but I think that there will be...
But just some tenderness, because I don't really feel we got to see a lot of that in the original trilogy, because there was just so much going on,
yeah,
obviously, and there's a lot of ego involved for everybody. And when you're, you know, the older you get, the less ego you have, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Interesting. Mark, is there any utterly unbelievable thing that you want to see but don't expect to?
There's one thing that's super unbelievable and another thing that I can understand that why they didn't. I've heard a couple things about what prequel stuff won't be in there,
mm-hmm,
but I think it would be nice to bring some stuff full circle just to be like, yeah, no, that's the world that you have to accept it, but it is accepted now that this universe is, it's the universe that we all know. On a 100% unlikely basis, Cad Bane.
Yeah, I don't think Cad Bane will be in it. And he could, you never know.
You never know.
I would love to see Luke having a nice long chat with Yoda and Obi-Wan. And obviously if there'd been anything like that with, it would, however they managed to do it, that would absolutely be already revealed. But I would love to see that. So kind of to begin the wrap up of our conversation about what we expect, I think that a thing that's been fascinating me is I don't think there's any film that can live up to the volume of hype. And for me, what I'm trying to remember as I go in to sit and watch this film is that what the magic of Star Wars has been has never just been seeing a movie. It's been all of the things that you do around it, if you buy action figures, if you play with your friends, if you really remember that special time your dad went and bought the DVDs at Target that first time. And so I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about what you want the story of your experience of Star Wars to be. What are the moments that you've had in this lead up, whether the film is amazing or whether it's horrible? What are those moments that are going to, a year, 2 years from now, are going to be like, this was the magic of Star Wars, because it's more than a movie. Mm-hmm. What are those moments for you guys?
Well, you know, it's the closer we get to the film's release, it's the more hyper I feel like this intensely inside. I mean, it's really affecting how I go through my days, you know, kind of thing. And yesterday, my family and I, we put up our tree, and my husband and I went on our front lawn, and we've only been living in our neighborhood for 6 months, and we bought this inflatable Star Wars Christmas like scene. And we're just like looked at the neighbors like, this is who we really are. And we turned it on, and it was like it's a Chewie's C-3PO and R2-D2 and a Christmas tree all waving and everything like that. And then we went and did our Christmas tree, and I've got a bunch of Star Wars ornaments, which I've had for years. They're not new. I didn't just go out and get them now, which I could, but and that kind of made it like, oh my god, this Christmas season isn't about what Christmas is to me. It's like the coming of the Force Awakens.
Yeah.
It's not the coming of the Lord to me. It's like,
Vader coming down the chimney this year, not Santa Claus. Yeah.
Exactly. And so I will forever remember like Christmas 2015. It's being the Force Awakens 2015. My Christmas is on the 17th at 10 o'clock at night. That's And then I'm actually more concerned about the next day when I wake up. Am I going to be let down a little bit?
I think, and I don't, I think that's part of the reason I wanted to talk about it is I feel like all of us fans should go in saying, seeing the actual movie, which we've been talked about, that is a part of this Star Wars experience.
Yeah.
And I think for some of us, it's 90%. For some of us, it's 10%. Yeah. But the true experience is just being immersed in it with other people.
Yeah, and like making sure, like I know you're going with your wife, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're going with the people that meet, that, I mean, you don't want to go to see this film with somebody that Star Wars doesn't mean anything to.
Right.
Know? So my husband and I worked out our schedule because, you know, this is a movie that we're not allowed to see without each other.
Absolutely.
Like the second, third, fourth, fifth viewing,
sure,
go for it. But the very first, so I have my night planned. I don't want to mess with parking, so I'm taking an Uber. I mean, I've got my whole
day.
That's
a great idea.
Yeah. So, exactly. Take an Uber so you don't have to deal with the parking. And then I'm also thinking I'm going to stop drink because I have a weak bladder, so I'm going to stop drinking water at noon. Because I've never made it through a movie without going to the bathroom, and I don't want to miss a second.
What is your greatest memory of Star Wars? I guess it's not urinating.
It was the best.
Those were good times.
Those were good times.
But I know what you mean. Mark, for you, what are in this whole area of time, what are your memories looking back of your Star Wars The Force Awakens experience?
Well, it's interesting. The closer and closer we get to it, the more the theme of the two sons just on a regular basis rolls through my head.
Yeah.
And it makes everything that much more important and special.
Okay.
So it's going to be looking back at this whole experience, at these couple of weeks, ever since we took on the mantle of the Jedi Alliance back in August. It's been I went from being a pretty big fan to I'm getting closer to not necessarily a big encyclopedia, maybe a Wikipedia.
Yeah.
I'm getting closer to a Wikipedia article about Star Wars. And it's made me love and appreciate this so much more, to a point where people ask me throughout the studio, just like, what if it's a bad movie? It's like, it doesn't matter. It's Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, it's like and you have 100% helped me come to terms with the prequels. And like, you don't have, like, And I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but it's all Star Wars.
Yeah.
And it helps. You guys have been in it, man. You guys have been in it since the summer, every single week, living, breathing the
stuff. Yeah. And people ask, like, are you going to get sick of it? And my wife kindly checks in, like, no, I'm glad that you're doing all this kind of sort of professional stuff, but is it going to encroach on you just enjoying it as a person? And that's what's amazing to me about it is even when it's, at the shopping mall, I was like, wow, Star Wars oranges, really, everything. I enjoy that. It's like, that's kind of over the top and maybe too much, but it's still fun and funny to me. And yeah, I just feel like my true deep love of Star Wars just cannot be taken away by anything.
Yeah, I'm at that age, you know, I'm older than you guys, so I was able to, I saw the in theater in 1977. And so it is like a big, the journey's not ending for me, but I just feel like I think with the prequels, I mean, I like the prequels. I was in my 20s and I don't know. I just wasn't, I liked them, but I wasn't really into Star Wars like I am now. Yeah. You know, it was always a big part of my life. And now that I'm in my middle years and reflecting on my life, I realize how much this story is a part of my personality, you know, the tone, the theme and all that kind of stuff. And so this is like a really big deal. It's not a bookend, but it kind of is a bookend. I know there's more movies coming out. And so it's like, it's really big.
Yeah.
Big to me.
Yeah.
You know, and I, oh, my goodness.
I mean, as a case in point example, I ate a habanero pepper just to talk about Battlefront more because of how much that has affected me as a gamer and as a Star Wars fan. Is most days I go home and play Battlefront just to be in that world.
Yeah.
And even though like the other people on the multiplayer thing are really cheap and cheesy and whatever, it's still like I'm flying a TIE interceptor on my own free time. Mm-hmm. That this is I can't believe it.
Yeah, it is leaking into. I had a I do a storytelling show called Five Truths and Lie, and we had our Christmas show the other night, and there are people were telling it was Star Wars stories. You know, we didn't ask them to. It's not a sci-fi related show. You've done the show. And Guy Stevenson did this story about his brother getting, because he's born in 69, so he was really into Star Wars. His brother got the Death Star, and he got... Yeah, and he's like, he's
amazing.
He said, and he's 5 years old. I don't know why they wasted on the money on him. He's older. And they got him Star Force, I guess, which... All the presents Guy got was Star Force, and how his whole life has turned out to be Star Force. He's not good enough to be Star Wars. He's Star Force until this movie comes out.
Yes, and I have had that experience over my life. And to me, I've always connected to Star Wars over the toys. Yeah. I wanted the Death Star. I was literally told by my parents that even Grandma and Santa Claus put together can't afford the Death Star. That was the lie. Well, it wasn't a lie. They didn't have the money.
Yeah. And, neither did Santa Claus.
You know, and then when it got to like the mid to late 90s and the Power of the Force, I collected those like mad, and for me, you know, connecting back to the toys, I was so upset on Force Friday that I was at a convention and then I was on tour, so I just couldn't go. And just by happenstance, on the tour, we stopped at our hotel for like a half an hour before we went to a venue. I think it was in Philadelphia. We happened to be across from a Toys R Us. I skipped a shower and I ran across, and I didn't expect them to have any good action figures. And they had Kylo Ren, and I took a picture of it. And then I realized, like, that's the Star Wars experience, those little moments that you remember.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm going to enjoy the film. I think we all are. I think it's going to be a good movie, but it is not the whole Star Wars experience.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Cool. So shall we move on to our next segment?
Yes, I think due to time, we have time for one mind probe question.
Oh, let's do two. Unless we need to be out of the studio, we can go along.
We do.
Okay.
Yes. Stephen Kelly, this is our mind probe segment. Excuse me. Our mind probe segment is where you ask us on Facebook, our Facebook page, Jedi Alliance, various questions from throughout the Star Wars universe, and we spend a little time talking about them. This question comes from Stephen Kelly. How would you rank the 6 or 7 Star Wars movies from most to least favorite?
I wrote that down. I would do 5, 4, 6, 1, 2, 3.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yep.
So
I thought long and hard about that.
Yeah. Prequels in sequential order?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Interesting. You know, I know a lot of people don't like the first prequel, but I do, mainly because I'm in love with Liam Neeson.
Understandably
don't
so.
Blame
yeah.
You.
Yeah.
Sweet
but,
ghost moment.
But, you know, I love a good origin story.
Yeah. And, this is such a great question. Yeah. I think we can do a more full episode on this later on ordering. What's yours, Mark?
Mine is very close to that. 5, 6, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's just, Yeah, and like, you're saying it so like, fast I can't even process. Like, are you counting in a jazz song? Is that what you're doing?
It's just like,
fair enough. Okay. I'll rewind and I'll listen to yours.
It happens.
Mine is 5-4, 6-3, sharing a spot, then 2-1.
It's a fun cheat.
I think just, I know we're short on time, but I think we could do a very quick round robin on Lawrence Morgan's question.
Have
two.
So Lawrence Morgan, does Captain Phasma have a droid to polish her armor, or does she prefer good old fashioned spit and polish?
It depends on the moment she's in, what she's in the mood for. Women like to change it up from time to time. That's all I'm going to say.
Fair enough.
I figure at the very least, she's like in her TIE fighter, in her transport, and like, wait, who's down there? Crap.
Yeah.
And just really quickly, depending on what planet she's on. But if she's ready to just like, I don't care who's down there, I'm taking everybody out, doesn't matter.
Yeah, I simply want to believe that there is a droid that's only function is spitting a fluid and then rubbing. A spitting and rubbing robot.
Most
droids. Come on. We're going to do a very quick duel of the fates. And we summon our force energy, the power of the duel of the fates. So much cool music we're going to get to hear. Force Awakens.
Oh, yeah.
Last week's question is, who would win in a fight, Jawas or Ugnaughts? And this is a question that has been asked on the show before, but you guys still had good answers. It was very, very close, but the Jawas won by a new teeny. And the best comment was H.J. Lewin Van said, Jawas, they simply hide in their sandcrawler and kill the Ugnaughts by riding over them. Visceral, horrible, and smart.
I don't know if it would be that. I don't know if it would be that fast. I think the Ugnaughts would be able to get out of the way.
Yeah,
but
I don't that's know, a good yeah, answer. We don't know how fast Ugnaughts can run.
Yeah, fair.
But vicious, horrible, great visual. This week's question, and we'll post this for you guys to weigh in tomorrow on our Facebook page. If you could watch The Force Awakens while sitting next to Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, or Carrie Fisher, who would you pick?
I thought about this, and I want to say Carrie Fisher because I just think she's a hoot, and I think she's really neat and everything, but it's like watching it with my husband. I want to see the movie with a fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go Mark Hamill because he is Star Wars,
yes.
And he constantly talks about it, and he understands his legacy and everything, so I'd want to see it with Mark Hamill.
Mark?
I was going to say Carrie Fisher too as well, but I figure that would be something that I could wait. Like, I would just want to record her reaction and then watch it later. But if we're talking about the first time Harrison Ford, because if I want to talk to him, he's already at, like, mumble audibility anyway. And just to kind of see him react, because he seems to have such a visceral reaction to this universe and this new universe. So as much as I would love to sit next to Mark Hamill and I would sit in between the two of them, I would say Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Also just to say, Harrison Ford.
Yeah, I want to watch the Blu-ray later with Carrie Fisher and riff it with her. But yeah. I agree with you. I want to watch it with the geek. I want to watch it with Mark Hamill and see him. I would love to see if Harrison Ford makes little grunty noises. But I have to go with watching it with a geek.
I think he might fall asleep. What if he fell asleep? Harrison Ford.
Then I'd be able to jab Harrison Ford and be like, hey!
Wake up, dude!
Dude, that's you up there.
So we'll post this for you guys to comment on in our Facebook page. Real quick, where can people find you, Audrey?
At Audrey Kearns on Twitter, at Audrey Kearns _ on Instagram, and 5 Truths and Lie, Polecats, GeekGirl30.com. Thank you.
Awesome. Mark?
Excellent. You can find me on Twitter, at SoapboxMark. I recently recorded an episode of Hot Pepper Gaming to review Battlefront, so go to Hot Pepper Gaming on YouTube. Keep an eye on them. It should be within the next week or so. We're doing Wreck-It Ralph tonight on Video Game Movie Anatomy. And if you're a fan of Jessica Jones, we have Will Treval in studio at 3 p.m. At 3-ish to talk about his role as Will Simpson. Follow me on Twitter, SoapboxMark, for more.
Excellent. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw. You can find me on all the social medias as at Joseph Scrimshaw. I got a bunch of shows and albums on my website at josephscrimshaw.com. We are going to do a special Force Awakens episode. Here's our big announcement. We're going to be doing it at a different time Friday, this Friday, the 18th at 6 p.m. with guest Mike Black. So it'll be a lot of fun, and it will probably just be us screaming for an hour, maybe 90 minutes. We might
and
go
crying.
A little bit longer.
Tears.
So yeah,
scream cry.
Yeah, Friday the 18th. 6 p.m. Please join us there. Thank you for watching and or listening to Jedi Alliance. You can visit PopcornTalkNetwork.com to find a nice list of all the past episodes of Jedi Alliance and links to both YouTube and iTunes. Please also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Jedi Alliance for all the us-related news. This has been Jedi Alliance on the Popcorn Talk Network. We talk movies. Thank you for listening because many Dothans bide. Oh, damn it. Thank you for
products.
Listening because many Dothans bide to bid us this bada-boo. Thank you.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.